Hello there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations to saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride and married the man of my dreams at age 43. And I'm now so blessed and honored to have helped many single women throughout the world meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love they've always dreamed of. So this virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. And I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm very excited to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. So it's my pleasure and privilege to introduce our wonderful guest, Catherine Ellis. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you, Michelle. It's nice to be with you.
Thank you. We're so happy and excited to have you. So just a little bit about Catherine before we get started. Catherine Ellis is considered one of the U.S. foremost experts on soulmates and dating spiritually. Author of the bestseller, Love Will Find You, she teaches around the world and is responsible for thousands of people recovering from heartbreak and finding the love of their lives. Her work has been featured in Psychology Today, USA Today, New York Times, Parade, Body and Soul, NBC, CNN, and many other media. And Catherine is going to be talking on a really delicious topic today and sharing some of her wisdom and thoughts with us, and that is have love show up at your door. Wouldn't we all love that, right? Sounds so great. And Catherine, there's a few questions that I'd like to ask you, and we're so excited to hear what you have to say on this topic. One of the things that comes to mind that I'd like to ask you about is what you believe or see as the biggest obstacles or blocks that people have to love.
Well, there are a number of them, Michelle. One of them that I call the biggie is being attached to someone who's not your soulmate. Mm. It's when we break up or when we have a past love that we thought that it was the best we'll ever do and somehow we screwed it up. That kind of attachment is a huge block. And it's very hard to manifest. I don't think people can even start. They're not even out the gate until they can get rid of that attachment. So that's the biggie. And then there are a bunch of other ones that are not quite as daunting. That's the hardest one to tackle for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is a common one. I know I often tell my clients that a big part of being ready for the right guy is not being attached to the wrong guy, and yet it can be tempting when we don't see something else on the horizon to perhaps want to hang on to a memory or a relationship that's not ideal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and there's just a tendency for us, all of us, to look at what's been in the past because it's tangible, we know it, rather than some faceless, nameless person we don't know yet. It's just a tendency to do that. It comes up so often that I work with people a lot on that. And then there are some lesser blocks, but that is the big one, and I'm sure I know you've dealt with it a bunch, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you care to tell us any about some of the lesser blocks that you see?
The lesser blocks that still can be tough, one of them is self-esteem, feeling like somehow we're not deserving of love or not deserving of love how we are, feeling left out. 95% of the people that I have helped find love thought that somehow they were left out, and we had to work with that and get them to understand that they're not. Whatever they've been telling themselves, it's just not true, they probably just had some kind of a blog, you know, even that belief. Other blogs are being cynical and kind of cool. It's kind of a defense mechanism, really doesn't work with love, because love is open-hearted and kind and soft. It's kind of soft. And so when we're cynical, we're kind of defended and a little bit brisk and closed to love. So that can be a big one. And one of my specialties, and it kind of speaks to the topic of what we're talking about, Michelle, is if someone thinks their way of being or something about them is unlovable or not conducive to love. In our example, because the title of our talk here is Have Love Show Up at Your Door, introverts think that because they're introverted, they're not going to find love. They have to get out there, which is not necessarily the case. I'm Southern, and so one of the things I teach is that if you don't get out much, they'll have a wreck in your yard. They'll show up at your door, and it can happen that way. And so introverts especially tend to think that's not true. They have to do something out of character to get love, and that is not true. We get to be ourselves and find love. But that kind of thinking is a huge block that we work on. You know, when I get hold of people, we have to work on that and get rid of that. So belief systems, beliefs about self, being so traumatized by the past that you can't fathom love not being hurtful, and just have said, a love is not for me. You know, it's very defended. So those are some of the typical blocks I deal with. And I know you have too, Michelle.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because it's so common for us as human beings to build protective barriers around ourselves, particularly in love or relationships, if we've been hurt or disappointed and maybe feeling a little disillusioned. And it's a natural reaction to want to protect ourselves from that experience again. And yet, for most people, there's still that deep desire for intimacy and closeness. And some of the things that we do both consciously and more often subconsciously to protect ourselves, in fact, alienate us, and they cause us to have a greater block from attracting the kind of love that we really truly desire in our life. And yet, when you're in the middle of that, it really can be challenging to see what's going on.
It can. That's where we come in handy.
Right.
You know, we love coaches. We can be the eyes to find that blind spot. It's so true, just to have somebody come in and see that and shepherd them through it, because most people are protected for a good reason. They've been hurt, but it really doesn't work to go around looking, you know, trying to guard against who's going to hurt me next. It's just not open for love, so it has to be addressed. And that's why I love being a love coach, because it's fun to walk people hand in hand through that. And when stuff comes up, we handle it. And one of the things I teach a lot about is releasing a person, that big block we talked about, and also releasing some of these beliefs or defense mechanisms, because they get in the way. They really make people close to love.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned this phrase just a few minutes ago, and I'd like to swing back around to it for a moment if we can. You talked about how we don't have to be someone different than who we are. And in fact, I think you and I would both say that your opportunity to find love is greatly enhanced by being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So you use this phrase saying they'll have a wreck in your yard.
Yes.
To kind of indicate that. And I'd love if you could expand on this idea just a little bit more, because I find it really interesting.
Yeah. Well, the way I teach love is more law of attraction based than necessarily getting out there. It's kind of like any good sports coach in the world would never send a team out with a lot of mindset preparation, getting pumped up, practicing. And so the inner work is just as important and even more important. Tiger Woods comes to mind because he had this huge upset in his personal life, and then he couldn't play golf for anything. You know, it affected
right.
his golf game. And so that just shows you how much mental and emotional well-being are important to succeeding in anything. And it's true for love as well. And so when I used to teach that just to emphasize to people in my Southern way that love can really land right at your door, and it started happening. When I first started teaching workshops, I was directing a crisis support team at the time, and lots of introverts coming in, people who just about given up. And I used to say that, and people started sending me these stories of how someone showed up at their door. They met someone while staying home, which for a lot of dating coaches is kind of unheard of. But that's how I work. I do feel like there's magic involved. There's synchronicity. There's a divine purpose that's bigger than we know. And it can deliver. Magic happens. Love itself is pretty magical. And so I have this file folder full of people for whom that happened. It's in my best-selling book, Love Will Find You. I talk about that quite a bit. I give some of the cases, examples of people who met someone literally while staying at home. And so getting out there was the worst thing they could have done for their love life. And so there's a process I take people through of attracting, getting themselves in the right place, getting rid of the blocks that we talked about, big one. And then lo and behold, it shows up at the door. And I still get those emails and letters regularly with these great stories where somebody really didn't have to get out there to find love. They just had to get their mindset, get their emotional place to the right vibration, just in a high state, and then it happened.
Yeah, I am paraphrasing, but you just reminded me of the Rumi quote that goes something like, Our job is not to seek for love, but to seek to remove the obstacles that we've built around love. And I think that that's some of the work that you're talking about, some of that inner work of removing some of the mindset things or some of the subconscious ways that we could self-sabotage or be blocking. And then that opens up that possibility or that pathway for attracting love. Am I understanding your concept correctly?
Yeah, that, and in fact, that quote from Rumi is something I have shot out to Twitter and Facebook a few times. It's such a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And so there's one lady that I worked with who really felt she was left out. And bless her heart, she was doing the wrong things. She was trying. She was kind of a doer, and she had joined multiple online dating sites and was scared to miss any party because she's scared her guy would be at that one party, and really was desperate. Like, she just really thought she was left out. And so until we address that, she could do all the stuff she wanted. She could run herself into the ground, and she would never find love. And so we worked with that, and she calmed down, and she started staying home more and just worked to start finding more hope and finding the value. And our mantra was, any guy who gets you is lucky. You are a catch, you know, and she kind of got it. And lo and behold, there was this attractive guy who lived above her. And she had noticed him, and he saw her going out on all these online dates, you know, going out a lot. And I always thought he wanted to get to know her. And they met in the laundry room, and he was kind of shy. So she had noticed him, but he would never say a word. But they kept running into each other in the process of doing laundry one night and struck up a conversation. And they really hit it off because they were confined, just the two of them, in this small laundry room. They talked and got past these blocks, and they ended up together. They're now married. They bought a house. They moved out. They have kids. So it all has a very happy ending. But it was a process. She was doing all the wrong things. It's kind of like if you don't put gas in your car before you go somewhere, you're not going to get there. And so she had to back up a couple steps. So, and it worked.
Yeah.
So that's an example, and I absolutely agree with that Rumi quote. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he pretty much sums up a really important concept very succinctly with that quote.
Yeah, it's so true.
So, Catherine, you know, there's this idea out there of love at first sight, and some people believe in that. Some people don't necessarily believe in that. Some people may not know whether they believe in it or not. And I'm just wondering what you think about love at first sight. Does everyone get to have love at first sight? And how do you really know when someone is the one? And what might get in the way of us being able to recognize the love? What might get in the way of a woman recognizing the love of her life?
Well, love at first sight, studies confirm this a lot. There have been quite a few studies on how love works, chemistry. Only 10% of people recognize their love at first or have love at first sight. So if you've ever heard a story where a guy looks at a woman and says right away, that's my wife, that's those 10%.
Yeah.
Or the woman's like, that's the guy I'm going to marry. That happens. It does. And it's only 10%. And so for the other 90, it's more of a process of recognizing that person and giving it time. And so I always, when I take them through my process of love attraction, I ask them to give it a few dates, you know, two or three. However, there is a codicil to that. And that's that you know within about a few minutes if there's going to be any chemistry or not. And so if there's just none and you're going to gag thinking about kissing this person, you don't have to go further. You know, when I'm talking to people, I remind them of this. But if they're intrigued or there may be something there, they think they're kind of attractive, I ask them to keep going and see. And so the way I have a little checklist that I give people, I can tell you some of the items. It's kind of lengthy on how they know when it's the one. And some of the things on that list are, number one, that there is something there. There's crackling chemistry, and it may come out slowly. Chemistry levels change. When you get to know somebody, sometimes there's more chemistry, and sometimes they're like, I don't know what I was thinking. It changes. And so that's why they have to give it a little bit of time. Are they available? Are they clearly interested? They need to be. If they're not holding up their end of the heavy lifting and we're doing all the texting, that's not it, or doing all the setting up of getting together, that can't work. And so they need to be available. They need to do their share of the heavy lifting and be clearly interested. It's a smoother relationship than they've ever had. And there's something that keeps egging them on. Like they just can't quite get enough of this person, even before they know they're the one. And so when we go and they make them feel better than usual, they don't tear them down, you know, they actually lift them up. And before they know it, they're kind of crazy about that person. And they can't, you know, obviously not abusive, not tearing them down, anything like that. So there's a certain flow there that is an indicator that it's the one. And then the other thing I ask people to do is give it time. If it's really your soulmate, you have the luxury of time. They'll wait. And so you take your time getting to know each other. And so the proof is if it keeps going and it doesn't fizzle, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So that's part of knowing it. And yes, the other question you'd asked, Michelle, was would anything get in the way of recognizing the love of your life? And I say, yes, it happened to me.
Really, we'd love to hear about that.
Well, at the time when my soulmate came, John, who I've been married to now for over a decade, I had been directing crisis support for a while, and it was interesting to be single. And I attracted a lot of people who really needed healing. They should have booked an appointment. And somehow the part of me that wants to fix people and help them was allured by them. Like, you know, I would sometimes get caught up in them, even though it was overly dramatic and not good. And so I started getting a little bit of a wall up, and many of us have walls. That's what can get in the way of recognizing. And so because I was having this experience, I got a little guarded. And so when my husband came along, he looked good. I had been attracted to him and just thought he was amazing. I have to admit I'd even fantasized about him, which I didn't do very often. But I had a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude. But he kept showing up. He never put a foot wrong. And my prayer became, if this is my soulmate, just keep making him look this good to me. And it never failed until we, you know, ended up engaged and married and having children. And to this day, it's very new, even though it's not new. Like, it just feels new. And so it was a gradual recognition. And what got in my way was being a little bit guarded. That's true for any of us who've been around the love block a few times where you get cynical or you get a little guarded, and it's okay. My thought is that that person will hang in there until we recognize them if they're the real deal. You know, you get do-overs. So nothing's a deal breaker with the right person, but yes. And so that's why I ask people to give it some time to try to measure it up against the list that I give when people are coming through my process. and just keep looking for the good. One of the big things, a lot of people who have been dating a while, they get these eyes of judgment when they go on a date. They're practically holding their list up and checking it off. That doesn't work to judge people. And so I ask them, you know, find, see how many things you can find right about them. Don't have a heavy agenda on the first date either, because if you do, you can mess it up, and it's hard. You know, just let it be. This is getting to know each other. We're not going to go too fast with this or put things on too early. And so when they do, the recognition can come more quickly. I have some cases where it took longer than others, but it comes in a nice, timely fashion. And in the meantime, we stay intrigued enough that we hang in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good advice that you're giving, because if we're able to relax a little bit and approach a first date or a first meeting opportunity from a little bit more of a relaxed point of view rather than having our checklist out or mm-hmm. drilling someone like it's a job interview or immediately jumping to, I've got to know so I don't waste time, it allows us to be in the moment. It allows us to relax more. It allows us to see the other person more fully and for them to see us more fully. As you were speaking about that, Catherine, I had a flashback to when I was single, and I know there were times that I was so anxious about not wasting my time or mm-hmm. not wasting someone else's time, or was this the one, or did I look right, or was every hair in place, or whatever. I was so preoccupied thinking about these things
uh-huh.
that we really couldn't even have a relaxed and enjoyable conversation. My mind was just going in a million different directions.
Yeah, that is such a good example, Michelle. I think that happens to a lot of people. And it just being present in that moment and just evaluating later, but really showing up for that person and putting the past aside, putting, you know, all those thoughts aside and being there is so important to helping to recognize them and having it go better. So, yeah, I'm sure I must have done that, my share of that too.
Yeah, as I look back on it, I think the energy and the effort that I went through in certain situations to try to appear in a certain way or to try mm-hmm. to be a certain way that I thought might appeal to this person, I know in some cases never allowed that person to ever really even see who I was. I was kind of masking my own authenticity by trying to be something else or someone else or at least appear to be someone else because I thought that was what they might like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had a flip of that where sometimes I was trying to make someone else be what I thought they would, what I would like.
Yeah.
And of course, none of that was highly successful, which is mm-hmm. why I had my own long, winding journey to love and many, many opportunities to learn and grow along the way.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Michelle. It's so true. And that actually, what you mentioned is another thing that can get in the way of recognizing the love of your life. If you're not being yourself, and maybe they're not being themselves because they're nervous too. I've had a lot of bad date stories where it still worked out. You know, they kind of got over that eventually. But yes, you know, if you're not being yourself, they can't see you, and they might not be themselves either. And so that would obscure the fact that you were tailor-made for each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't recognize the fact that our authenticity and even some of our vulnerabilities are some of the things that make us relatable to another human being and allow them to see us in a way that is that allows them to develop feelings for us and caring for us. And yet I know for myself, I always wanted to give the impression that everything was so perfect and I had everything so in control.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't always the case.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of my favorite quotes along those lines, Michelle, is that we are admired for our perfections, but we are loved for our imperfections. Like it's okay to be vulnerable. It's very important to be ourselves. That's the lovable part right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I really love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, you know, so, I want to mention one other thing that really gets in the
sure.
way of people recognizing their love is if they have all these rules in their head which, you know, it speaks to limited beliefs, and that's a big one, but it has to look this way. I was mentioned in this New York Times article a few years ago, and I was the only love expert. It was an article on mismatched loves, and I was the only expert on there that said that supposed mismatches can work out well. Even the author disagreed with me, but if we have it in our head that they have to be this age or that age, or, you know, all these strange and kind of random constrictions on how it has to be, it's harder, because I've had people from different cultures, different continents, different ages, different physical states all find each other. And on paper, yeah, maybe they look like a mismatch, but they were perfect. So we have to watch the things we're saying that limits it, you know, or too easily count somebody out.
Yeah.
For the wrong reason.
Yeah, I think that the message you're sharing there is really hopeful, too.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated when you said we get do-overs, and
mm-hmm.
this reminder that we don't have to do everything perfect or be perfect, and that sometimes things that don't initially seem perfect really could turn into something really amazing and beautiful. And I know both you and I have worked with clients, and you mentioned this already, where initially, you know, maybe not all of the chemistry bells, sirens were going off like crazy, and yet once they had an opportunity to know this person and to experience them and find out how much they might like and admire and appreciate about them, that chemistry piece can also develop and evolve, like you said, over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they can find themselves madly in love with someone that they might have not thought the first impression might have not led them to believe that that was going to be possible.
I know. That is so true. I've had that happen a lot, Michelle, where somebody kind of thinks they're cute, they get to know them, and before they know it, they cannot stop thinking about them. That's emotional bonding that happens with the right person. It doesn't have happen instantaneously. There's this exercise I do when I have people live in a workshop to see how comfortable they are when they first meet somebody. There's the amazing few who are all the way open, can immediately dive in the deep end with somebody. The rest of us, we need small talk during which something's happening, and that is getting emotionally used to each other. And just kind of warm up more gradually. Most of us are like that. It's like levels of communication, and it's pretty interesting because the large majority in any workshop that I do need that warm-up period before they can feel comfortable enough and relaxed enough to start getting emotionally bonded and even just fall in love eventually. So that's very common.
Yeah, I think it is very common. And I think it's a hopeful message, too.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of hopeful messages, because that's one of the main objectives of this entire summit, is what would you have to say to a woman who has kind of given up on love and has just kind of said, you know what, I don't know. I don't know that I can even do this anymore, or
mm-hmm.
has lost some hope.
Mm-hmm.
What words would you have to share with them?
I would tell them, and this is something I often say to people, don't give up. Don't give up. You have every hope for love no matter what. And then I'd probably lay in with some examples. I have some really good ones, because one of the things that I teach that you're never too old, you're never too heavy for love. And so I'd start telling them stories about the 80-somethings who have found love through my work, the 115-year-old Malaysian man who got married again, the 95-year-olds who recently got married in a nursing home here in California. I would tell them, because it's never too late for love, ever. I would tell them about the lady who does my work, who was extremely heavy and also in her 60s, who just recently got engaged to this handsome, amazing guy. Even when you're older, even when you're less than perfect, you don't even have to settle, ever. And so these people, we had this spate of 50-somethings getting married last summer, and every one of them got this amazing guy who was just top-notch. They weren't settling even the littlest bit. So I start telling people examples, and that helps. And I tell them this, and this is so important to remember. Love is not like a career. Career, usually it's kind of linear. sometimes magic strikes quickly, but more often than not, you can see a logical progression into success from like entry level. With love, it could literally happen any minute. And when I start getting people's hope back up, that's when they walk out of the workshop and they text or email later and they've met somebody that quickly. Like they just got the hope again. But it's so organic that anybody listening right now could look around as they finish the interview and meet somebody or later this week. You never know, because that's how magical it is. And so when I start talking about this, usually people perk up, and it helps, you know, to remind them that, you know, it's never too late. Even later in life, no matter what physical state they're in, I've had people who have lost limbs or had a real serious chronic illness or debilitating illness. I've had people, any condition you could think where people might think, no way I'll find love like this, or maybe people tell them that and they still get it. It doesn't work like that. So I start talking about them and I would try to ferret out what are they telling themselves that make them give up. And a lot of times what you mentioned kind of implied is so true. Their past. It's like this heavy burden, and they can't, you know, they just think, I can't do this anymore. And I ask them to please not let the past be predictor of their future. Nobody would ever make any gains in their entire life if we did that, right?
Right. Yeah, the way you said that love is not like a career and doesn't necessarily go in a linear pattern, mm-hmm. where we can go from just a place of feeling like we don't have love in our life and then suddenly have it happen. And I know both you and I have seen that, and I have even experienced that for myself, because it felt like a miracle when I met my husband and got married at age 43.
Aww, yeah,
because
I loved
that. You know, I couldn't see where or how if that was going to happen, but I did have hope. And I did do some really deep personal work and got some support along the way. And that helped me to remove some of these internal obstacles and ways that I had been self-sabotaging myself without even realizing it. And also helped me to see some things that I hadn't seen before, like I always believed so much that I was really ready for love and that I really wanted to have someone in my life. And once I started doing this deep inner work, what I also found, Catherine, and I'm sure you've worked with clients on this too, is that there was actually some ambivalence there that I hadn't really recognized. So what I mean by that is that there was a part of me that said, you know what, I kind of like being single, making my own money, deciding what I can do, where I go, what I do, whenever I want to, without really having to consider anyone else in the equation. And there was this part of me that was really proud of the fact that I was successful in my career and had gained this independence, and I didn't necessarily want to have my wings clipped or to lose myself or be swallowed up in a relationship. So it was like I didn't even know that stuff was there. You know, I hadn't even realized until I started doing some of this work and getting some support that there was actually this piece of ambivalence there.
You were not lined
that
up
I had never
with
even
it.
Seen.
Yeah, that's good. And what did you do?
Well, I mean, it was a journey. It was a process. And I got support in several different ways and through several different channels. But for me, one of the biggest pieces, and I think this is why, you know, you and I do the work that we do and why having someone to support you can be so valuable, is for me, once I could identify some of these things, then I could begin to start working through them and managing them and questioning some of my conclusions or subconscious thoughts that might be going on. But until I had support, I couldn't even see they were there.
So how
could I move through them when I didn't even know they were there? Like, I believe so often we have blind spots as human beings. We all have them. And for me, I couldn't see, I wasn't able to identify. I knew I was stuck in this area of my life, which felt very frustrating because I felt very successful in other areas of my life, but I couldn't see by myself. I couldn't identify what those blind spots were until I got support. For me, it was kind of a multifaceted approach that I really I really went deeply in a lot of different directions, and all of them opened up certain things for me. And I really believe if I hadn't done that work, I would not have been able to identify these things or work through them on my own.
Absolutely. Well, I love that. That's awesome, and congratulations, because clearly you did a good job. And is your husband, can I ask you this, is your love, does he kind of hang on loosely and you stay empowered with him and you still have your freedom?
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing too, because we certainly have an interdependence. You know, I love him, and I'm even willing to say at this point in my life that I need him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a leap for me. I need him, maybe not in some of the ways that women might have traditionally needed men,
mm-hmm.
but I love him and I love having him in my life, and I do need him. I've come to rely on him in ways that are just so lovely to be able to rely on someone, things that I never even knew that I even wanted to rely on someone for.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
And so we have an interdependence in that way, but I feel like it's a really healthy balance where
mm-hmm.
we both still have our own interests and we both still have our own points of view, and we're able to understand and respect that even if we don't always see things exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm able to be even more expressed in this context because I'm supported in a way that I wasn't able to be supported when I was by myself.
Mm-hmm. He sounds like a soulmate to me, because that's one of the characteristics, is you become more than you were alone, even though you thought you were so independent and doing so well. Somehow you bring out the best in each other. I've had many cases where couples flourish beyond where they ever had gotten just on their own, just because the love lifts you up when it's right like that. So I love that story, Michelle. You're such a great example.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, just to give you one tiny little example, just that might make you laugh, you may relate to this. My husband is an attorney and a CPA, so very left-brained, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I am obviously probably more of a right-brained person, very creative, and
mm-hmm.
he laughs and says, you have the entrepreneurial spirit and I have the intrapreneurial spirit. But 'cause he likes, you know, steady paycheck, going to work, you know, everything
mm-hmm.
very logical
mm-hmm.
and neat and orderly.
Right.
And me, I've always got, you know, 18 ideas going at once and
mm-hmm.
projects all over the house. And and yet, you know, it works really well together, because in my business, I can create, and he supports me by keeping the books and doing all
mm-hmm.
these things that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And so we have, like, that's what I mean when I say kind of the interdependence.
Yeah, you really fit together. Your strengths and your weaknesses kind of compensate for each other, and you're better together. That's good. I love that.
Yeah, it's been an amazing blessing. We've been married now for 8 years, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've shared this with you before or not, Catherine, but in 2012 I was diagnosed with a very serious case of breast cancer. So for a period of time, I went from being this very strong, independent woman to actually being someone who did need a lot of help and support for a period of time in my life. Now, thankfully, things have gone well and things are looking very optimistic, but it was a very incredible experience on so many levels.
I'm sure it must have made you closer, huh?
Yes, it did. And I think in those situations, it does either bring people closer together when they pull together, or unfortunately, it can drive people apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this amazing experience of being loved in a way that I'd never experienced before,
mm-hmm.
because I had to go through chemo, radiation, mastectomy. I lost all my hair.
Bless your heart.
I felt the
least
beautiful.
Michelle, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying it because I think this is a really important part of love.
Yes.
Is that I felt the least beautiful I'd ever felt in my life, and yet my husband would kiss my bald head, tell me I was beautiful, and tell me how much he loved me. And I felt the least attractive I've ever felt in my life, and I felt so sick. Even my eyebrows and eyelashes jumped ship. It's very hard to look cute with no hair or eyebrows or eyelashes. And yet, I got this gift in that in that experience of being loved really for the essence of who I am, because I knew at that point, I knew it wasn't just because of my physical attributes. I knew that he really, really loved me. And so it was a really moving and touching experience like I had never experienced before. It really transformed a lot of my feelings about love. I came to know that the love was so much deeper than I'd ever even imagined that it could be. And so in that sense, it's just been an amazing gift. Not that I would wish breast cancer on anyone, but that experience has been a really incredible gift as I experienced that. And to be loved just for me, you know, when everything else basically fell away. I mean, literally fell out. My hair fell out, you know.
Yeah.
And everything else fell away, and I could no longer keep up the facade of everything being great and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I had that facade up still with my husband, but you know what I'm talking about. We always try to put our best foot forward. But when everything fell away, he still loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved me for the essence of who I am. And that's been an amazing experience.
I love that. Well, congratulations. I'm so glad you're on the other side now. And
yes,
and I have to
too.
Say that's how soulmates are. You know, the love and the discovery of one another just continue and continue. And our soulmate does teach us how to receive. You know, they're there for us and show us what unconditional love is. And certainly your husband sounds extraordinary, just how much he rose to the occasion and showed you he loved you.
Yes, he's just really been amazing. And I couldn't even have imagined going into our marriage that I would need him in the way that I did. Neither of us saw that coming, but it's been an amazing experience to be loved in that way and to have experienced that. And so
you didn't know ahead of time he would be that way?
Well, I had never even imagined we would face such a crisis, so I guess I had never really thought that deeply about it.
Did he show signs of being kind of giving to you?
Sorry about that. What did you say?
Did he show signs of giving to you even in the early days?
Oh, yeah. He's always been very kind and very generous and very sweet to me. And so there were certainly indications that he was, you know, a wonderful husband. I always believed he was just a wonderful husband and a very caring mate. And yet this experience that we had puts things on a whole new level. I mean, everything, our worlds were completely turned upside down. And I don't know if any of us truly, Catherine, know exactly how we're going to manage a crisis of that magnitude. I mean, I didn't know whether I was going to live or die. I was incredibly ill, and I had all these physical things that I was going through and physical changes that I was going through, and I could do very little for him for that period of time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was just trying to survive it.
Right.
And just trying to get through it. And so I didn't have a lot to give back during that time. And so I guess it's just, I don't know that I'd ever even thought of us facing a crisis of that magnitude. And so I couldn't have evaluated. I guess I never asked that question, you know, would he, how would he handle a crisis of that magnitude?
Well, that's pretty specific. You know, I can't imagine, but I always teach that women are such givers. You know, we tend to be nurturing and giving, and that your soulmate will take care of you too. And that's one of the signs, actually. And so it's telling that in the, you know, your beginning days, he was giving to you and seemed nurturing, and then he really came through.
Yeah, he really stepped up.
Yeah, gosh,
really
that's such a great
up.
Story. So inspiring, Michelle. Wow.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, thank you. I didn't mean to make the focus on me, but I just felt like it was a...
No, it's very relevant.
I just felt like it
relevant.
Was so in alignment with what we were talking about here.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to say something else that you mentioned that was really good, that I have a lot of people come up with this issue. And that's, you just said that you were very independent and worried about giving your power up. A lot of women who've been single a while worry that they're too set in their ways and that And I have to remind them that their soulmate will be easy to live with, will give them room to be independent, and will help them stay empowered if they've had a pattern of giving away their power in relationship, that they'll stay equals. It's an equal relationship. And they have to get used to that. There's certain things we can do to help. But you're a great example of how that came to be true for you and so many gifts within your relationship, too, beyond that.
Yeah, I feel incredibly blessed, and
mm-hmm.
I believe this is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about the work that you and I are blessed to do in the world,
mm-hmm.
is that for me, all of these years of being single and on my own, and now contrast that with now these 8 years of being married, and I love mm-hmm. that you described your relationship with your husband of 10 years of still being fresh. And I feel that same way. There's still this freshness of still learning and growing and having new opportunities of discovering things about each other and discovering things about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And now having this history of surviving something really big together,
mm-hmm.
and finding out a lot about each other, ourselves and each other in that process. And it's such an incredible gift, and that's why I think both you and I are very present with the message of not giving up hope, because
mm-hmm.
it's such an incredible gift.
It is, and it's worth the wait. I said that in my wedding vows. I was not a spring chicken when I met my husband either. I wasn't in the first blush of youth, and I just told her I'd been a single mom for 10 years, and I just said, you know, you were worth the wait. So, yeah, it's worth it for sure to not give up hope, and it really could happen at any time. But I love your story, Michelle. What a wonderful example you are. And I want to bless you guys for many, many more years of falling more deeply in love and just thriving.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. So we've been talking about soulmates, and
mm-hmm.
we've been talking about love, and we've been talking about the possibilities there. And you have a phrase that you call a soul call,
mm-hmm.
and I wonder if you could tell us about that.
Right. Well, I've been teaching that for the longest time, ever since I started, which was probably in around the late 20th century, the early 2000s. And a soul call is something that I did with people. That is how to have love show up at your door more than anything. It's an inner call for your soulmate. And I lead people through it often through a guided meditation. And we're giving one for free to your listeners as well. That's part of their free gift, is a soul call. So there's a couple ways to do it, many ways, and it's something you can repeat over and over just to reinforce it. Many people do. But a soul call basically is setting out an invitation, sending it out to that person. And it is my belief that on the inner, because we're all connected beyond the physical, that they feel it. And it draws them to you more quickly. And so when you send out the soul call, many people have these freaky stories later of how all of a sudden they got galvanized to move to a new city, and there she was, you know, and she had sent out this soul call. You know, all these amazing, magical things that happen. And so I lead people through a soul call, through a guided meditation, and then I ask them to back up that soul call with an outer soul call. And that can look like many things. So if it's a high-driven career woman who barely has time to say boo and she feels like she intimidates guys, I would ask her outer soul call would be to carve out some unstructured playtime in her calendar just to say, I have time for love. I'm available. And to bring out her soft side. If it's somebody who had just about given up hope, I'd ask them to go buy a card and a gift for the person they don't know yet. If it's somebody who tends to be cluttery and accumulate too many people and things around, I'd tell them to release all the guys they're not going to marry and declutter their house a little bit. Clear a drawer for their soul call or make some room in the closet. And so there are many symbolic ways to reinforce the soul call. I have some hilarious stories about that, some extremes that I never even would have thought of that worked, because it really works. And so many people email us with these stories about how their soul call came to life, and it was the thing that indeed made love show up at their door. So that's what it is. And it's something I've been doing for many years with people to great effect.
So it's an inward soul call, and then you express it also outwardly in some way.
Yes, and it may be more than one way sometimes. You don't have to go overboard. I had one lady get crazy and think she had to get her entire house decluttered. And I was like, no, it's just a symbolic act. Don't go crazy on it. It's just a symbolic act to say, I am ready. I'm open. You know, just telling the universe and even telling your soulmate in a way. They're feeling that energy of getting ready for them.
Yeah. That sounds really powerful. And we're going to share in just a minute or two about how the listeners can get your free gift, of which that's a part. It sounds wonderful.
Yes, thank you.
So one other question now. This is kind of a fun one. So I'm wondering, Catherine, if you can talk a little bit about hotties, H-O-T-T-I-E-S, hotties, and being up to speed with one, and what does that mean?
Well, when I first started doing this a long time ago, helping people with love, I became aware that people would rule out pretty often those who were the most attractive to them, the hotties. And that's most likely to be your soulmate, is someone who's hot to you. And so I had a woman who, she was doing online dating, and she wouldn't even reach out to the guys she found were attractive. She just wrote them off. She said, well, they're not going to be interested in me, little old me, forget it. And so part of the work that I do is getting people up to speed with who their soulmate is. I had a lady end up in the hospital with a panic attack, which she thought was a heart attack, because she did meet her soulmate. And he was 10 years younger, and he was this attractive guy, and he was crazy about her. He was going to go out of town and move, but he stayed for her. And he stayed and had to find a new job and find a new place to live because he was crazy over her, but she thought it was too good to be true. And just like you said, your soulmate felt like a miracle, Michelle, it can almost at first be too good to be true if you're not up to speed, or if we're nervous about it, we're not up to speed with it. And so part of the work I do with people is getting them used to it. I had to walk this person through the panic attack in the hospital and to get a grip and understand that she was a catch and she was worth it. And meanwhile, he was cooking up a proposal. And not 2 weeks later, he took her away to this romantic bed and breakfast, and all of the staff were in on it and just had this amazing proposal. So she went through hell because she wasn't up to speed with it. And sometimes if you're not up to speed, it kind of blocks you. Like, that's a block. And it can rule out finding your soulmate if you cannot talk to people who are attractive. Even very gregarious social people can get tongue-tied around someone they find attractive, most likely to be their soulmate. So, you know, it's something I have to do with people, is to get them up to speed with someone who they might have ruled out as being too good for them, which is a false idea.
Wow, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think it's so frequent that because we're afraid perhaps of being rejected, we more or less do the rejecting before someone has the chance to even reject us, particularly in this situation. And you're right, we as women, we can talk very easily to men that we may not feel any sort of romantic inclination around. And yet someone who we might consider to be a hottie or be real attracted to, we stumble all over our words. We can't think straight. We can't figure out what to say. We freeze up. We panic. And sometimes we run.
That's right. And that's part of my job, is to do hottie training to get people up to speed with it. So, we do. It's a tendency, and it means there's some work to be done to get up to speed.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I think that's such an important consideration and something to keep in mind. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Well, you're welcome.
And I am going to have you give us just a last minute or two of wisdom in just a moment. But before we do that, I just want to give you an opportunity to share with us a little bit about your free gift that you have for our listeners. And then also, I know you have a special offer for our listeners. And before you tell us about it, I want to tell everyone where they can go to find out about both of these. They will go to a page called www.readyfortherightguy.com /Katherine, and that's KATHRYN. So again, readyfortherightguy.com /Katherine. So Katherine, can you tell us first about your Ready for Love bonus gifts, your free gifts?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm giving everybody a teleseminar, a teleclass, that will help you do some of the things we've talked about during our talk together, Michelle. It will help your listeners get ready for love, and they can be ready in 10 minutes they could meet somebody, because sometimes it happens literally in 30 seconds. I have some good stories about that. And so I take them through the beginning process of magnetizing love. Even when they're listening to the teleclass, they're starting to magnetize. There's a soul call included as well, and then also some notes so that they can take it in at a more deep level until they can really start getting this.
That sounds wonderful, and I'm sure your message is resonating with so many of the women on our call today, so we do invite you to take Katherine's work a little further. She has so many things to share, and I think this will be really valuable to you. So again, that's readyfortherightguy.com /Katherine. And on that same page, you're also going to find information about a wonderful offer that Katherine is extending to the listeners on the Telesummit. And this is a product called Online Dating for Your Soulmate. Katherine, mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, yes. Well, this is a good deal for your listeners, and so I hope they'll jump on it, because we're giving them for $97 what it's going to retail for $500. And so only for your listeners, because I really want to support them. But it will, once it's actually released, it will be $500. And it's an 8-week course that I actually did live with people to begin with. The reason I did is I kind of told people to shy away from online dating, that sometimes it would just make them feel hopeless when they shouldn't feel hopeless, and they needed to do it right and they weren't up to speed. And I did a survey of what people wanted from me, and they all wanted me to take my process and apply it to online dating. They really did.
Mm.
And when I did the survey, at least 13 people emailed back, and they said, well, Katherine, we used your process to call forth love online, and I'm married. Like, all these people I didn't know about, success stories, who had used my process anyway. And so I did this course, and fully half of the people, by the time it was over, out of 50 people that we let in, were dating someone seriously, and most of them are still together now. And so it's very effective. It's 8-week long. It includes lessons I take you through some real online dating sites, tell you how to set up the best, how to keep yourself at the level of attracting the love of your life rather than somebody who's not that, how to weed, and how to do it in a way that won't get you down and is effective, and keep it a lot simpler than people make it into. So that's what it is. We include bonuses to make sure that people have the best chance. I include everything that I think that they would need, including my famous ABC method of connecting. It's something that people can pull out when they're faced with a hottie and don't know how to connect. And it's had an amazing success with really shy people and people who choke when they are faced with someone attractive. And so that's included as a bonus. So that's it. And it's probably worth a lot more when you think of how much people pay to find their soulmate. And it's specifically for online, and it includes everything people need to get there, and it's proven. It's worked for a lot of people. So I hope that your listeners will jump on that, because it's a super, super good deal. And I'm offering it because I want to support them with something that can be hard. Online dating can be very hard if you don't know how to do it well.
Yes, no doubt. Yeah, it sounds wonderful, and thank you so much for offering it at such an incredible investment of $97 for the summit participants. That's very generous of you, and it sounds like it would be really delicious, and I hope many of you will take Katherine up on this wonderful offer, both her free offer and also this special offer that she's just made for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, Katherine, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of share some parting wisdom with us, and thank you so much for being so generous with your wisdom today.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Michelle. So nice to be with you, and I love your story, too. So
thank
my
you.
Last words will be, don't give up hope. If you're listening to my voice, you have every hope for love. I hope that you will take your inner work seriously, getting ready, getting the right mindset to attract love, and you will have love show up at your door. And if you do, I would love you to email me at info@katherinehellis.com and let me know, and I will add you to my wall of weddings. I have so many photos of
people who got married. Wall of weddings, I love that.
Yeah, I have so many, and I want your whoever's listening to this to be next and remember to share your good news.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So, Katherine, thanks again, and I want to thank each of you also for being with us. I know it's been a wonderful conversation that we've had, and we invite you to consider implementing the ideas that resonate with you from this interview, and also want to remind you about the other interviews. During the summit, you'll have access to the best wisdom from over 25 love experts, and you'll be able to listen to the interviews and the replays each for 48 hours. We hope you'll catch as many as you can. However, knowing that life is busy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews, I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which includes all of the MP3 recordings, some interview highlight sheets, and summit bonuses. We've got some really yummy bonuses. And you can check it all out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And the investment is $97 during the summit, which is $100 savings off the post-summit pricing. So, again, that's readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And, again, Katherine's gifts and special offer can be accessed at readyfortherightguy.com/Katherine. And I want to thank you again for being here with us and look forward to having you on more of the Ready for the Right Guy Telesummit. So Katherine and I are both sending you lots of love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.